And it's interesting that Ken Ruse went with Punxsutawney Phil and things. I know that's tomorrow. You'll see, hopefully, how all this fits together in terms of where I'm going with my message today. I have a question for you as I begin. How many of you, let me see your hands, are as hooked on Peanuts cartoons and all of that as I am? Could I see your hands? Oh, you're looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. You don't know about Charles Schulz and all that stuff? Huh? Well, as I begin my message today, I want to tell you about a certain Peanuts cartoon that has little Linus afraid to be alone in the library. And Charlie Brown tries to explain to him that everyone feels that way at some time, in some place or another. And so little Linus looks at Charlie and said, "Well, where is that place for you, Charlie Brown?" And Charlie ponders the question for a moment, and you can see the wheels turning, and then he answers, "Earth. Earth." Well, I don't know about you, but I do have to ask, when and where is it that you feel alone or overwhelmed or just sad? As you're probably aware, some psychologists have been telling us that many people feel sad and lonely in particular seasons. It's called seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, and often appearing in the bleakest months of winter. One of its causes is lack of light, and it always results in feelings of malaise or anxiety and sluggishness. And it seems to happen for us in this part of the world in January and February a lot. But in the United States, the city with the highest concentration of sad people is, do you know? Say it. Seattle. And why is that, Melissa? It's overcast a lot. What else? It rains a lot. It's just so doggone drab. I mean, I love that movie, Sleepless in Seattle, but I'm telling you, living there would make me sleepless, okay? Or maybe not. Maybe I'd want to sleep all the time. Our oldest son and wife and granddaughters live in the state of Washington, but they're in Walla Walla, 5.5 hours away, and they truly try not to go to Seattle when it's this kind of weather. Sad. Drizzles constantly, and the dripping and fogging and drabness creates sad people. You know, I had prepared the sermon. I was mulling it over yesterday quite a bit at times, and it just so happened that following dinner last night, as we do most nights, my wife Arlene said to me, "Okay, let's turn on the news. We'd both been on the run a lot during the day. Let's watch the news." And I'm just going to say it. I get nothing for this. I usually turn on CBS 3. I like the news on CBS 3. And if you follow that news, you may know that the weekend anchor is a sweet young woman named Natasha Brown. I don't know her, but she just comes across that way. And usually upbeat and smiling, and you know, just puts that kind of spin on things that she's talking about. Well, it came to the weather time, and Justin Drobic, the weekend weather guy, was talking about what's been happening for us and what's coming tonight and what's going to follow that. And he's talking about all these drab days and maybe rain and maybe snow and maybe fog and who knows what's coming. And off to the side, you can't see her, you hear Natasha Brown go, "Oh." I mean, off camera. Oh. Well, they pan back to her, and there she is looking rather sheepish and just wanting to crawl into the desk. And she says, if you heard it, she heard her say, oh, today I just feel like being a glass half empty person. Sad. I will tell you that some physicians for a cure describe and prescribe a U-Haul. They suggest a move to a warmer and brighter climate. Others suggest homes and offices filled with UV lighting. I told the earlier congregation that I had an administrative assistant in my last church who used to be so affected by the weather in January and February when she would see me dancing into the office because it was snowing. It would almost send her over the top, okay? And she said to me at one point, Dick Sarley, please sit down. We need to talk. I just need you to know that I've got to bring in a lamp to brighten my space. You don't have to be in it. You don't even have to walk near it. But I'm going to have a lamp. I promise I won't be disrobing, getting a tan. I'm just going to be sitting in the light. Thank you very much. Now go to your study, okay? So she did. And for 5 of my 6 years there, that's what we did in January and February. She needed to be in the light. Well, Dr. Brian McDonough, know that name? KYW. Has talked about this before, but he was talking about it again recently. And he said, one of the things we need to do regarding this seasonal affective disorder is that we who can should be out there dealing with, encountering, spending time with folks who don't get out so much. Be it a family member or a friend or a neighbor, don't let him or her just sit in a dark room or in an apartment or in a retirement community or wherever. During the season, spend some time. Bring some light and life to that person. I got a chance to test this out a couple weeks ago. I grew up in the Poconos. I have family there. One of the aunts and uncles that I'm closest to live in the little town of Weatherly. My Uncle Mick was a Marine in World War II, saw all kinds of combat, been to hell and back. Literally, been to hell and back. Wounded, but survived. Now at 93, he sits in Weatherwood, a retirement community up there, and he struggles with dementia. My Aunt Laverne, who's always been a pip, went through a little period a few weeks ago of sadness. She couldn't get over to see my uncle because they shut down the facility to outsiders because of the illness. She shut down playing cards with her cronies, some of whom she's played cards with for countless years. My cousin Kathy is their only child, travels with her job with the VA, prepares food, all kinds of things. Aunt Laverne wasn't eating, just not going to worship. And my cousin calls me when it gets to that point. I'm the oldest nephew, and as Kathy would tell you, I'm the one, if you'll allow me, that can gently and lovingly give my Aunt Laverne a boot in the rear end, okay? I just can't. I do it. Now, she doesn't always like it because this is what I'll hear. Why are you being like this? And you're a minister, okay? Yes, I am. Now sit down and do what we... No. Kathy called and said, Mom needs you. This isn't about this, but Mom needs you. She knew I would tell it to her straight. So I called her, said, Aunt Laverne, I'm coming up. Oh, no, you're not. Yes, I am. I'm coming up. No, you're not. No, I'm coming up. And you're going to get dressed. Kathy tells me she's going to lay out clothing. Well, she did, but I'm not putting it on. Aunt Laverne, I'm coming up, okay? So he did. I'm not going to lunch. We always go to lunch. I'm not going. Yes, we are. Get your clothes on. We're going to. And I get no money for this. Do you ever hear of the Powerhouse Eatery on the fringe of Whitehaven, anybody? It sits above Route 80 near Whitehaven. Wonderful. I get nothing for telling you this, but you need to go there. Okay. So I said to her, going to the Powerhouse Eatery. Well, whatever. Okay, I'll want to walk to my car with me? No. I'm going to wait here while you come and pick me up. I just can't walk that far. So we got to the Powerhouse Eatery. Suddenly, God has brought about a transformation. I went to the men's room, and I say, I come out the door. I hear all this commotion over where we'd been sitting. And the server comes and says, I don't know what's going on here, sir, but your aunt is holding forth over there. She has met some people at a neighboring table, and I can't get a word in edgewise over there. And I walk over, and she's holding forth, and she's engaging. And not only did she suddenly decide she's hungry, she ordered more than she knew she'd eat because she said to me, I'm going to take some home for dinner tonight. And by the way, since you're paying for it, I see a big piece of pie that has my name on it. Thank you very much. And we finally get ready to leave after an hour and a half, and we start to go outside, and I said, Aunt Laverne, you stay here. I will walk out and get the car and come back for you, and this is it. Oh, no, what do you think? I'm old. Grabs my arm. I can walk with you. Now, I know my Aunt Laverne. The load is heavy. And it breaks all of our hearts to see my uncle the way he is. And winter's tough. She's going to get down again. But for a few weeks now, she hadn't been sad anymore. And I appreciate it. Now, I tell you all this because some persons more interested in the spiritual life of human beings suggest that if there is a seasonal affective disorder, there may also be a spiritual affective disorder. And they go on to say that too many of our churches are said to display the symptoms. Sluggishness, lethargy, backward-looking rather than forward-looking, long on bickering, short on forgiveness. Now, I know none of that goes on here, right? From what I've experienced of you all, it mostly doesn't go on, it seems. Seems like a pretty good place here. But some churches get caught up in spiritual affective disorder. But the good news is that at the core of our faith, there's something we can do about sadness. The Reverend Dr. Leonard Sweet, internationally known preacher and author, offers the following suggestions in one of his writings. You're going to see them displayed up here. Now, you may not like all of these. They may pinch at you a little bit, but they're important. He says, first, feeling overwhelmed by your problems, pray for someone else whose burdens you're aware of. Second, he says, feeling resentment toward a family member or coworker at the office, give thanks to God for that person, asking God to let him or her be an instrument of growth in your life. And he says, feeling alone and in the dark, uncertain of where to go next, pray, asking God to shed light on the divine wisdom in your soul. And wait to hear this one. Feeling critical of others, instead of criticizing, thank God for the objects of your criticism and ask God to make them a blessing wherever they may go. Hard one to do. Wait to hear this one. feeling bitter toward others who succeed where you believe you failed. Pray for their continued success. Feeling unforgiving toward others, consider anew how God has forgiven you and continues to forgive you. And pray for a change of attitude. And then he says, feeling tied up in knots, beaten down, trapped in the gray of life as though all the pastel colors are gone from your sunrise, allow God to open you anew to humor. Now, you may have gathered in 1.5 Sundays of me being with you that I'm one who likes humor. Love it in worship, believe it's important. But I know it's not for everyone. But I would always say to the congregation where the bishop assigned me in the first week or two, I hope you're going to be okay with humor because that's who I am. If you're going to sit there and not get caught up in it, we might as well have me go right now. Thank you very much. And I'm going to look at Cindy. And if you all hadn't been laughing last week and today, I'd be saying, Cindy, we better change this, okay? But Leonard Sweet says, humor is one of the most important things in this seasonal affective and spiritual affective disorder. And then he tells, to illustrate his point, a marvelous story that he claims is true and I think is one of the all-time great preacher stories. Seems a pastor agrees to officiate a wedding service for a young couple, and as a piece of their conversation, he asks the couple if they want the traditional service or the contemporary service. And the couple state they'd like the contemporary one, and then they also decide not to review the service, but just to trust the pastor. And as well, there's no rehearsal. Oh, my goodness. Well, the day of the wedding, it's just pouring all this sadness. I mean, it's gray and drab and pouring rain. And as the groom gets out of his car in the church parking lot, he decides, I can't get wet with all that. So he bends down and rolls his pant legs up over his knees. Rushes up to the door of the church, rushes inside, and notices that his bride is about to start down the aisle, so he forgets about his pants, jumps in front of the best man and the groomsmen, and walks to the front of the church. And almost immediately, to his horror, the pastor sees the groom standing there with his pants rolled up over his knees and in trying to save the moment, as we pastors do and often don't say it right. He says to the groom, pull down your pants. Can you imagine? And the groom looks at the pastor like this. And the pastor again says to the groom as the bride is getting closer and closer, pull down your pants. And the groom looks at the pastor and says, if it's all the same to you, Reverend, could we have the traditional service? Now, don't you dare throw me under the bus with Monica for a wedding here, okay? Don't you dare. She'll tell me. I'll ask her about it at annual conference. And Leonard Sweet says, we have to lock in on humor. Let God make your belly just shake with laughter sometimes. And get away from sadness. Now, it's a great story. And his list is wonderful and full of good news, and I truly believe we do well to make it a part of our daily living. But the good news also is Jesus Christ. For he's at the heart of our faith, at the heart of the matter for Christians, and his forgiving love is our eternal light. And there's no place. And there's no season. in which His light and love don't shine upon us and don't come into us. And so in Him, we can move beyond our sadness. Thus, with the season of Lent fast upon us, I call on you to make it a point to commit yourself anew, and I'll do the same, to not getting trapped in sadness and to forming a wonderful relationship with this Jesus Christ who says to us, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never, ever, not even for a long time or a little time, ultimately walk in darkness. I believe it. I think it's the only way for us to truly live. What do you think? Amen. Amen.